Sorry about that delay. I was in a different courtroom.
It's understandable. We'll have the marshal call the case.
The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Frisch, Chief Judge Siegel, Judge Clary, the Honorable Jennifer L. Frisch presiding.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. Today is October 20, 2021. We have six cases on the calendar this morning. This is our fourth case, A210781, State versus McPipe. Counsel, you'll each have 15 minutes for your primary argument. The appellant will have an additional 5 minutes for rebuttal. Please mute your microphone if you are not speaking. Marshal will be showing a running clock of your time. Please pay attention to that clock. I'll ask that you introduce yourself and your client before you begin speaking. And with that, we're ready to go. Counsel.
Good morning, Your Honors. Counsel Paul Berchi, appearing representing the City of Osseo, State of Minnesota. And should I proceed?
Yes, please.
This is clearly a case for de novo review in the state's view here, appellant's view. Purely a question of law, whether any observation of physical characteristics is actually required before an officer can stop a motor vehicle based upon information that the registered owner's license is canceled, revoked, or suspended. And I think this case is completely decided based upon the McPipe or the, Pike decision, kind of rhymes. The Pike decision from the Minnesota Supreme Court. As a matter of fact, toward the end of the opinion in Pike, the court states, and I'll just quote a paragraph here, beginning with, fortunately, we do not need to reach the issue of whether the district court credited Trooper Nelson's testimony on the above two articulated grounds for the stop. So there was some dispute on some of the reasons for the stop. Rather, we find that this case can be decided based on Trooper Nelson's undisputed testimony, namely, that he was aware that the owner of the vehicle in question had a revoked license. So that's very comparable to this case. The judge, district court judge, credited virtually all of the officer's testimony. There was no other testimony to contradict anything. The only thing that I can find in the district court's order that raises a little bit of a question is whether or not the officer's decision to run the plate was affected by the fact that there was a W series plate there.
Counsel, could I interrupt a minute?
Sure.
I agree that that is one of the issues that appears to have arisen when you read the findings. But underlying the rest of it is, it appears to me, the district court's belief that rather than running that license plate and looking for general characteristics of age and sex to identify the driver, that race and sex were used. And it appears, if I read between the lines, this judge thought racial profiling was going on. You want to comment on that?
Well, it would only be between the lines that you could wonder about that. But even the district court judge really didn't suggest that. I don't think she suggested that seeing the W series plates. As a matter of fact, you can't see very much about the description of people in a car when the car is moving. So the W series plates, I think, was I think she credited her testimony that was random or affected by the W series and not by any kind of racial profiling. And certainly,
counsel, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm going to disagree. She emphasized in the findings at one point that normally the characteristics that are used are age and sex. And in this case, it was race and sex. I don't think she would have put that in there unless that was an issue to her.
Well, it might have been an issue to her. I guess we don't know. But certainly, there's nothing to really suggest that was a factor. And how do you determine a person's age anyway, when a car is driving by at 45 miles an hour, you know, you're looking for, you're looking for gender primarily, length of hair, color of skin. Well, those would be the most obvious things you would look for. Does it match the registered owner of the vehicle? And I don't think we can just create out of whole cloth a profiling case without some evidence, an opportunity for the officer to explain or to rebut any suggestions to that effect. I think the courts had do not, according to the Supreme Court and in a couple of the decisions that I cited in my brief in the court in unpublished decisions of Halverson and Preston, the courts have not tried to get into the underlying facts or other reasons for the stop that might be involved other than an objectively valid reason for the stop. So I don't think we can really go there and try to even assume any of that. There's nothing in the record to suggest it.
Well, what do we make of paragraph 8 of the conclusions in the order? I mean, the district court is distinguishing the Pike case and the identification of the driver in the Pike case from the identification of the driver in this particular case. I mean, age and sex, at least you're narrowing down a class of people, but race and sex is so broad. And I mean, to Judge Cleary's point, it does, I mean, race is emphasized in the district court's order, and it seems as though the district court is identifying the use of race to identify the driver as an improper factor.
If you have a picture of a black male as the registered owner of a vehicle and you see a black male, why would that not be an entirely valid, non-prejudicial, non-biased reason to validate, oh, I think that might be the driver because the race matches? I mean, police use
Well, I mean, just like all women don't look alike, all black people don't look alike.
Well, there's no effort to distinguish what black people, what any person looks like in detail. We're not asking officers to say, well, let's do a lineup, a photo identification of a person. It's only that it makes it unlikely that it's anyone other than the registered owner here. I don't think you can just take a blind eye to the color of a person's skin if it matches that of the registered owner. So I don't agree with the skepticism on this particular point. The district court judge just suggested, well, maybe you should try to find other descriptive information other than race and gender. Well, so then you got to take more time. What was that date of birth? How old is a person born in 1978? And how can you tell an age of a person driving by when you just see a flash of the face? So the facts, I think the hypothetical in Pike, I think they talk about if you see if the registered owner is a 35-year-old male and the driver has gray hair and appears to be like an elderly female, don't stop the vehicle. I think it has to be that obvious in order for there to be a question on the stop. And I don't really have anything else than to say.
Also, I just have a question. Were you the trial lawyer on this?
Yes.
Okay. Part of my concern as a former district judge is that the trial judge is watching this officer testify and is making some conclusions, I think, that come out in the findings, and that's where this race issue comes up. But if you were there, you saw what was going on. It's always a concern to me when we're second-guessing a district judge. They're there. They see what's going on. And I understand Pike. I understand case law. But I'm always concerned that we're not the ones that see the evidence as it goes in. Do you have any comment on the hearing itself?
The hearing was very straightforward. And if you look at the transcript, I think the officer was pretty candid. And there was no pressing of anything and no suggestion of anything like racial profiling going. I think it comes to the timing of the hearing. I trying to remember the date of the hearing, but with everything going on post George Floyd, et cetera, no, this is earlier, way before that. But then when, by the time we get to a hearing, by the time we get to the hearing in June of 21, this is all post George Floyd, and everyone's very sensitive about this issue. And I think that that could have impacted the judge in just saying, just wondering, just trying to search for something to, I think, frankly, it shows a little bit of anti-police bias here, potentially. I mean, if that's motivating the judge's decision. But I don't think there was anything in the record in the hearing to suggest any kind of profiling or improper conduct. The officer wasn't evasive. And like I said, the only question at all was it just the W series plates? And she does suggest that the W series plate may have played a part in it. That's specifically in there. And it only, you'd have to read in quite a bit here to say that she's dismissing this because of racial profiling. And I think it would be quite unfair to the officer and to the state to conclude that that can support this without any evidence of that. That's all I have, unless there's more questions.
So the judge discusses current technology for running plates, and that might make a difference. So what could you comment on that? I mean, that seemed to be a concern.
That was an interesting observation. There was no evidence of what the technology was back when Pike was decided. Presumably, the district court judges assuming that officers could not get a picture readily back at that time. That may be true, but there's no evidence in the record to support that. But all that would do is to still trying to place a higher burden on the police to get a better description of the person before stopping the vehicle. And I think the officers should not have to do that. The consequences of a brief traffic stop are minimal, and we should go by objective standards here, unless there's affirmative evidence that there's a pattern of this. I mean, if there was testimony by the defense that this officer has stopped, 75 black people and 40 of them were let go without charges, and something to suggest a pattern of profiling, that would be one thing. But I don't think you can infer that from this record.
Anything else from the panel this morning? All right, sir, you'll have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Mr. Welch, just one moment while we reset the clock for you. Anytime you're ready, sir.
Good morning. May it please the court and counsel. My name is Melvin Welch, W-E-L-C-H, on behalf of Mr. McPipe. Your Honors, I think that you're in your questions, I'm just going to kind of start in on your questions to appellant, that it does appear that the district court judge is uncomfortable with the testimony that was received at the omnibus hearing. It's notable that in her order, she does identify that she does not credit wholly the officer's testimony. The officer testifies in the transcript that she had a very good view of the respondent, Mr. McPipe, as he passed. Mr. McPipe, as he passed by, yet offered no substantiating observations, no specific articulable facts or observations of Mr. McPipe's age, appearance, or otherwise. There's testimony from the officer that she is essentially, upon observing the license plate and entering it into the computer system, also able to make those observations, which really didn't, the testimony did not support such an observation. And then upon identifying that Mr. McPipe, or the registered owner of the vehicle that was passing, was had the canceled IPS license, summarily turned around, went up and attempted to make observations of the individual to determine whether or not that individual was in fact the driver could not make any observations other than the fact that it appeared to be a male who was African American. And
Mr. Welch, was there an argument made before the district court that the stop was pretextual?
I would say, Your Honor, that there was no outright argument from the respondent's district court representation that there was a pretextual stop. It does tend to be, at least in the vein of the questioning, implied inquiry by that representative. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on his name at this moment. There was a kind of a digging into the assertions of the officer by the representative regarding observations of the individual prior to regarding the assertions that there was a contemporaneous observation of the driver at the time that driver was going by at a fairly quick clip of speed as the officer was entering that information into the system to obtain the registered owner's information of the vehicle.
I'll just say that, I'm troubled by the circumstances here, and I share the concerns that you've raised in your brief. But I feel as though we are limited in our ability to deviate from Pike when we have paragraph 8 of the order, which does not contain a finding that the stop was pretextual, and we don't really have an argument to suppress the evidence from the stop because it was a pretextual stop. So that's sort of the position that I find myself in, sympathetic to the arguments, but lacking in an argument, raising the issue below and lacking in a specific finding by the district court of a pretext. So how do we get around Pike now? How do we get around it?
I guess there would be two things that address that, Your Honor. The first would be, and I hate to use the term, but the insidious nature of systemic discrimination in the systems. I think that there's a little bit of that at play here. I know that this did occur post George Floyd incident last year, this as Mr. Berchi had identified. There's a sensitivity, I think, to approaching these issues by we, the participants in these systems. Obviously, none of us want it's very difficult to critically examine oneself or even critically examine the system, which has more or less reinforces itself through stare decisis. I mean, this is kind of a situation where we're looking at a blanket capability of law enforcement to shroud what could be otherwise improper bases for an inquiry or an investigation under the cloak of legitimacy. And it does appear that the court is very uncomfortable with that.
Can I ask you a quick question though? So is it your position that we would need to overturn Pike, which is obviously, something as a court of appeals we can't, or is there a way to distinguish Pike were we to agree with your argument?
Well, I think that the district court does identify in the order and legitimately so that, while Pike is, and I think Mr. Berchi did articulate outright saying that, hey, we don't have to get to the question of any observations by law enforcement. It is still articulating bases in its observations to support that objective and specific and articulable inquiry into whether or not law enforcement have a reasonable suspicion to stop a driver. In Pike, you had the observation that the driver was of approximate age and was male and appeared to be of a similar appearance. In the citation for Dosterhoff in Pike, law enforcement has specific familiarity with the licensed driver there who was suspended. Here we have neither familiarity with the driver nor any specific articulable facts identified by the stopping law enforcement officer that the driver is who the driver is, other than the observations based on race and sex.
Counsel, let me interrupt you just for a minute, because I tend to agree with Judge Fisher's observations. There's no finding of a pretextual stop by the judge. We are reading between the lines a bit to find out and conclude that she's concerned with racial profiling here. And I tend to agree with Mr. Berchi when he suggests that there needs to be more evidence of a racial profiling, because you do have the driver, he is the owner of the car, and there is cancellation of license. So we're back to the issue that's been articulated by each judge here so far. I don't see how we can get around Pipe. You're asking us to extend it, or we can't do that either. Are you distinguish it? I mean, is it enough to say that this was race and sex versus age and sex in Pipe?
Your Honor, I guess I'd put out that there's, you know, basically three positions here. One, judge agree with my position, which is in support of the district court, and affirm the decision. Number two, which is or number three, I'll say, which is the judge is reversed. But I think number two is if there's a level of discomfort here that's being articulated by the district court and not clearly, this could be a proper case for remand for further clarification on that very issue. I think that the representative here, the district court representative, Senator, I just can't remember his name right now. You know, he's an African-American male as well. And it is very, I think there's a discomfort that is, that resonates with the representative, crying wolf and not being taken seriously here. The questions that he asked at the omnibus hearing really were getting into are how can we believe you when you're making these assertions that are just not consistent with logical observations reasonable conclusions. And the judge identifies that, yeah, there are some problems here with the officer's observations. But it's just not in the position where, especially with a pretextual stop, I mean, in something like this, there's basically, hey, as long as the person has a revoked license or otherwise, whether or not you observe the person is driving the vehicle, go ahead and pull them over. And in this situation, it's an African-American male that is driving the vehicle, and there were no observations of the person. And so you've got enough cover, go ahead and pull them over. And there's a strong discomfort with that by the court. I think that if this court feels there would be additional information that would assist it in determining whether or not that's a legitimate concern of the district court, a remand would be very appropriate in this situation. As to distinguishing Pike, I think that this case can be distinguished based on the fact that here the only observations are race and sex, and both those observations and making a legal, basing legal action, seizure of an individual, based on those two criterion alone, race and sex is antithetical to the Minnesota Constitution. It's antithetical to the United States Constitution. And I think that there's a legitimate basis to be, to distinguish Pike on those grounds. I understand the court's discomfort here. My first request would be to uphold the court's suppression of the evidence and dismissal of the case, to affirm that decision, to distinguish this case from Pike. My second request to this court would be to, in our discussions, identifying that there is a significant discomfort here at the district court level, and additional clarity could be beneficial to the court making a decision to remand this for that question. Barring any other questions, I would cede the rest of my time.
Anything else from the panel this morning? All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Welch. Mr. I hope I get your name, if I pronounce your name incorrectly, Berchi?
Very good.
All right. You have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Go ahead, yes, sir.
And I think there's really no reason to try to speculate into the hearts of the officer in terms of whether something else was going on in the officer's head while she has a valid reason to stop a vehicle to overturn the objective basis for the stop. I think the burden is on the defense to raise a pretty significant factual claim, if made, of pretextual stops, because this involves the requirement of proof of a pattern of which we would have wanted to have other officers, police records, testimony that would have addressed this officer's dealing with members of the Black race. And to remand this to explore this new theory, I think would be highly inappropriate. I searched the transcript of the hearing and the judge's findings and the arguments of counsel. There was never a suggestion of a pretextual stop here, just that the officer should have been more certain that this person was exactly the right age and had the right facial characteristics to match a photograph that she could see, the officer could see on the computer. And the suggestion about the technology, again, I think that, there's no evidence in the record that I think we should even be able to go there, but inferentially, perhaps at the time of Pike, it was, and I haven't reviewed it on these grounds, but I think it's maybe an indication of the race. I don't even remember if it was race was an issue in Pike, but if there's only a description in writing as opposed to a picture, if a picture was not available. So now what district court judge was trying to do here, well, hey, now we can get pictures, so maybe we ought to raise the stakes and change the standards here. And I don't think this court can do that, and there's no evidence in the record to cause us to go there. There's an objective reason for the stop. Many cases from the U.S. Supreme Court that also talk about objectivity in the basis for police actions, police detentions, and so forth. So I don't think there's any reason to defer to the legal findings based upon this record. And I'll just finally one point. The judge did credit the officer's testimony in several different ways. The findings of fact that she made echo the officer's testimony pretty clearly. And then at the end of paragraph 8 of the findings, the judge says, well, the officer's testimony was specific enough for the court to find as reliable. So everything's reliable from the officer and there was no real exploration of, would you have run this plate if it hadn't been a W series? I don't think that question was even asked. And that's, it's really the W series, not the race, that had anything to do with this potentially, in addition to the fact that the person matched the description. And again, the standard is the officer had no information to contradict that the driver could be the registered owner. And that's all I really have, unless there's more questions.
All right. Thank you very much, counsel. The matter is submitted and we will issue an opinion within 90 days. This concludes our oral counsel.